You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Move mountains. We gon' walk it out and move mountains. And I'll rise up, I'll rise like the day. I'll rise up, I'll rise on a
flame. Welcome to the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker, and I'm really grateful that you're here. I didn't think we would talk about this subject 2 weeks in a row, but if you missed the last week's show, we had Pauline Lee, who is a former reporter from Green Bay and Milwaukee and La Crosse, and it was really an emotional interview where she talked about life in Minneapolis and the decision that was particularly hard for her to carry her passport because she had to prove her citizenship. And it's... That was tough to hear. If you want to hear it again and share it and all that good stuff, civicmedia.us, search our show and listen to it again. And I think you're going to want to listen to this one too. We got an awesome guy here, good friend. And we're going to get to him in a second. But I do want to spend a little bit of time because it kind of feels a little bit like the world has changed since we last spoke. Saturday morning, I got a news alert that another person was killed on the streets of Minneapolis. Shortly after that, there was another news alert that said that he had a gun that he was legally allowed to carry. He didn't brandish it, didn't point it at anyone. And then I made a post that said, you know, the GOP warned us for years about how they would stand up to tyranny. But in reality, that outrage disappears when they get to be the ones wielding it. And when I left work, I was working, about, 3 o'clock, my phone started going nuts because it was my brother. And he told me that we know the guy. And he said, "Mark, oh my God, it's Alex Pretty." I pulled over and stopped, and I like, "Are you serious? Are you sure?" And it was stunned because it was him. I knew him. I was a singer in the Green Bay Boy Choir for years with, amongst others, him. And to understand what that means is to understand how tight-knit of an organization it is. That was the time before we had, instant contact with each other. And so, like, the kids would spend hours and hours rehearsing every week, and we would go on trips. So the parents would talk to other parents, and the kids would talk to other kids. It was really tight-knit. And when something happens to that tight-knit universe, it's like in an article I wrote, it's like a disturbance in the force, if you will. And when something happens that violent and that extreme, I mean, like, I weep for him and the life that he should have been able to live, and Mr. and Mrs. Pretty and his sister and all that. But I weep for everyone, because we all lost, and it's horrible. It hurts. And, even though I haven't spoken with him in 2 decades plus, I know that just like anyone else, I if we see him out, God, big hug, and we'd have a conversation that would last long into the evening, and like no time had passed at all. And what I remember about him is he always was someone who would help the young kids feel safe and feel comfortable. And he was, great sense of humor, very, very well liked, a good person. And so it's no surprise he went on to do the things that he did, taking care of our most vulnerable and the veterans. And it's also no surprise that the last moments of his life were spent doing something so selfless. I put out I realized because of this microphone and some of the things that I've done in the past, some words that I might say travel farther than I would like. And I put a post out and it was shared and all that over a million times, which holy crap. But I that was it. And of course, you know, all the news people called and said, oh, we want to talk to you. And I didn't do that because I have a very well-defined Catholic guilt that tells me that there are people that knew him better than I, and their grief is deeper than my own. But I also didn't want to be part of anything that would say, oh, you know, let's hear from both sides. There's not both sides to this. And so that grief and that horror and frustration and sadness was like replaced almost immediately with like white hot anger as some of the most powerful people in our country tried to assassinate him all over again, calling him, you know, a domestic terrorist and an assassin and all that. It's just unspeakable. And that led me, amongst other things, to realize what is so needed in this fight that we have in November. And I want to talk to this dude over here about that, because honestly, I look at where we are and we need people who understand what we're going to face in terms of the onslaught of misinformation and lies. And we have to have someone in charge that can fight that. This dude over here, my buddy, he's done that before. And joining me today is former Lieutenant Governor, now candidate for governor, holy crap, Mandela Barnes. Thanks for letting me opine there for a little bit.
No, man, for sure. This is
welcome.
It's such a heavy moment.
Yeah.
And for you to have that personal connection.
Yeah, that sucks.
Makes it. I know it sucked. And you think of like so many situations that are sort of familiar, sort of relative. You know, I think of my own. But this moment here, the gravity of it all across the country, globally, in fact, because people who are just standing up against a wave of what feels like tyranny and oppression in city streets across the country, to see it come home so close. I mean, you know, with Minneapolis being as close as it is to Wisconsin, there's so much overlap. It is only right for us to be frustrated and aggravated, but to have known the person, you know, on a personal level, it cuts that much deeper. Even the connection to just Wisconsin in general, like our cycling community, like he was a River West 24.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite activities, you know, in the entire years, the River West 24, such a community building event,
big time biker.
And for him to, but this is like, you know, I do cycle, but like, this is more community than it is cycling.
Yeah.
It builds up a neighborhood. In fact, the River West 24 was started in the wake of a tragedy. A person was killed, maybe in a robbery or something, very tragic circumstances. And the community's response was to put together a 24-hour bike riding event. And he was a part of that community. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the fortune of being able to bump into him at any point, but I know people who knew him. And it is amazing how many, you know, people participate in River West 24 and how tight knit that community is. Like, even if you hadn't met a person that did it before, if you know that they did it, it's a society. Can't even call it a secret society, because it's certainly not is anything but a secret society, but it's such a tight knit community.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it sucks. It's crazy. 'Cause like, you know, I never in a million years would have thought that we would be here.
Yeah.
You know, if you had told me 10 years ago, Trump, 10, 15 years ago. If you had told me that we would be talking about, you know, this, a police force that's unaccountable, shooting American citizens in the streets, unarmed and legally carrying a firearm that they were permitted to have. I would have said you're nuts.
Truly, truly accountable to no one except the president and a DHS secretary who was wholly unprepared for the role.
Oh my God.
That she's in.
Yeah.
And the dismissal of reality, the dismissal of facts, to be able to go up, you know, and lie so easily. And I can tell you, like, there's always been, you know, questions when these sort of things happen. It's like, you know, is this the truth? But with so many cameras, so many different angles.
Yeah.
Footage is clear as day.
Doesn't matter.
Footage is clear as day. And at the same time, they have told you to not believe what you can see, what is very apparent, what is very evident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all know the president is no fan of the truth. We all know that he'll say anything to benefit his political agenda, even if that means that lives are being lost, lives are at risk. That's what we've been fighting against for so long. And I'm, you know, encouraged by the people I've seen who stepped up. People in some unlikely places have, you know, been politicized, have been, you know, have really understood that there is a role for them in this moment, and every single aspect of our lives is political right now. I mean, that's been the case. This is not a new thing, but the people who are coming to realize that their daily existence, survival, is all political, and are stepping up, are showing up in ways before. And, you know, if you're a person who's never been involved before, you know, there's no need to feel guilty or no need to feel shame. But if you finally have, you know, woken up and seen the light in this moment and decided to get out of your comfort zone, you are welcome. You are welcome in this conversation. You are welcome in our resistance to what we are experiencing, and the pushback and the collective responsibility that we all have to show up. Again, it's not new.
No,
it's not new. But if this is the point, if this is what got you here, welcome.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's, I think, I think as people on the left, Democrats, you know, in your case, people that are running for governor, I think overall, we believe in the same core things. There's different ways to get there. And it, you know, nerding out and seeing different policies and all that stuff, it's cool. But I think the one thing that changed, that shocked my world into having this opinion, is honestly the most important thing that we can have in our next governor and our next leader is someone who can stand up to all of this storm that's, you know, that's here and that will come, because, you know, it's bad now. It's going to get even worse when he doesn't have Congress and he doesn't have a Senate, and all he's got is his bully pulpit. So I do want to talk about that. I want to talk about your experience in dealing with that at the height of COVID, because holy freaking surreal, that must have been wild.
Well, 2020 was such a wild year altogether.
Yeah.
There was COVID and there was everything else.
Yeah. And so
along with it.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. Here we've got former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes here on the Rational Revolution. Stick around.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, so we've got former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. He's running for governor of the state of Wisconsin. And I was talking about the fact that, you know, we need someone that has experience standing up to all of all of this. And you did that in especially 2020. Talk about that. Like, I can't, I mean, that, it, and when I say talk about that, every day, dude.
Every day was something.
Oh my God.
Every day was something. It was relentless. It was, there was, it felt like no end in 2020. But the thing about that, and I say this often, 2020 prepared me
for
this moment.
Yeah.
Just given that every day we had to expect the unexpected. As you said, there was no way 15 years ago you could have predicted that an unaccountable force would be showing up in communities causing harm. You know, I am just always reminded in 2020, it felt like just it was a light switch.
Yeah.
It was on and off in a matter of days, and things don't happen that quickly. Life changed for everybody. Life got increasingly more difficult and uncertain for so many folks. There was the health aspect, there was the social aspect, there was the education aspect, there was the economic aspect. So many different factors that we had to consider, all while trying to keep ourselves safe in the process. And so having the chance, you know, to really look at what that impact was, you know, making the hard calls, but most importantly, having a vision for a way out is ultimately, you know, what landed Wisconsin in one of the, you know, better places relative to other states post-pandemic. I'm proud to have been able to travel to help chart that course, to sit down, you know, with the governor, many instances, and going on TV, doing the cable news hits, talking about how Wisconsin was going to successfully rebound and weather this storm. Of course, nobody got it perfect. No state got it perfect. But I'm proud of what we've been able to do.
I mean,
small businesses, you know, across Wisconsin, many which would have closed their doors. Unfortunately, some did close their doors, and some are still dealing with the impacts of the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
But we showed up and we listened before anything else. So having a leader, a governor especially, who's ready to stand up and fight in this moment is critical. It is necessary. We have an out of control president. We have a Congress, a Senate that has been less than responsive to the needs of people. What we do have is state level leadership and resistance to this tyranny. But more than that, you have to have a governor with the vision, the leadership, and the experience. And, you know, I a lot of respect everybody who's in this race, crowded primary, strong, healthy signal of democracy.
Yeah.
But I am proud to have the experience that is unique to this race in showing up in the most difficult and challenging moments that we've ever been through, and having been a part of putting together a plan to see us through. And as we find ourselves in another moment that also feels impossible, I am telling you that we can come out on the other side stronger than before. It will not be easy. It will not be fun, but the work will be necessary. And I'm proud to have been a part of that work. And I am telling you now, if you are listening, if you are watching, this is not about governing as an individual. Yeah. This is about taking into account the cries of folks who are in communities who feel afraid. It is about taking into account the real lived experience of people who are spending more money on everything, who have very little left just to survive. This is about the folks who are tired of having their lives dictated by the whims of billionaires, people who have done nothing to improve quality of life for anyone else besides padding their own pockets, increasing their wealth. And the president has led the charge on this, increasing his own personal wealth by almost $1.5 billion that we know about
in a year.
In a year as president.
Yeah.
He has done the bidding to serve his own interests, large corporations who have made our lives more difficult. This is a moment for working people to stand up.
Yeah.
This is a moment for people who have lived a difficult and challenging life to be able to have their voices heard. This is about bringing voice to the voiceless. I bring not just my experience in elected office as a lieutenant governor or a legislator. This is my personal experience. Mm. Having grown up in the community where I was born, attended the schools that I have attended, having lost the friends that I have lost, whether it was to gun violence, whether it was addiction, or other unfortunate circumstances. Having dealt with the impacts of an uncertain economy myself back in 2009, I once got laid off from a job that was to help people find jobs.
Oh, really?
I know how difficult things can be. I still have my food stamp card. I've been on every type of assistance available as an adult who had the rug snatched from underneath him. And that's why I fight so hard for individuals who have gone through tough times and families and communities who continue to see divestment and who continue to be left behind. This is the moment for us all to be able to get the support we need so that we can get a leg up and we restore power to the people and bring back opportunity to every single community in Wisconsin, urban, suburban, and rural alike.
Well, I think, you know, there was an article, it was during COVID that really sticks out. And it talks about how, you know, Trumpism survives. Well, it doesn't survive. It like festers. Except when it's facing something that is universally true that it cannot dispute, like COVID, mm-hmm. or like this, like violence here in by ICE agents and all that stuff. So just telling the truth.
Yep.
Is a great place to start, you know? We're talking with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and we're going to get into the race for governor here coming right up. Stick around. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, he's running for governor of Wisconsin. I do have one question. We were talking about, you know, this moment in history. And I think, you know, looking forward, God willing, the right things happen here in November on the Senate and the congressional side. I think we could be also at a point where, oh, man, I don't know what's going to happen. We need Nancy Pelosi ripping up that speech. That was freaking awesome. That felt so good to watch. But, like, you know, right now, we talk about telling the truth. You know, right now yesterday as we're recording this, FBI was going and taking ballots from Georgia to relitigate the 2020 election. We have things going on in Minnesota. Pam Bondi and a psycho justice department. There's just constant misinformation. When you were in those meetings during the height of COVID, when you know, you have Ron Johnson telling people to just, you know, go outside and, you know, do somersaults in the middle of a crowded whatever the hell. I mean, you know, what was that like?
Yeah.
Just trying to tell people the truth.
Yeah, and even, you know, on that,
like in those meetings, they're like, what the hell is, you know,
even in the conversation about truth, because, you know, where we left off when you said, you know, the Trumpism can fester, but, you know, if the truth is there. Now, the truth has always been out there, but we need a critical mass of people who actually have, you know, seen the truth,
right.
Understand the truth, are ready to repeat the truth. And with all the uncertainty that they tried to create about what our eyes actually saw.
Yes.
When you had Tom Tiffany say that the footage, you know, is sometimes grainy, there was nothing grainy about this footage. If they are willing to lie to you about this,
yes, that is wild.
Consider what else you are being lied to about. Now,
so without any care.
Without any care. Without any hesitation.
Right.
It didn't even take time to come up with a lie. They just said a lie. They just said a thing. They just said the thing.
Right.
So to that point, you know, those meetings, like during COVID, like we had to be honest with ourselves. We had to look at the rising rates of infection. We had to look at the number of people, you know, who unfortunately, you know, lost their lives. And that was a reality that we had to confront. It wasn't the reality that, you know, other people chose to believe. They had a president who said, you should drink bleach.
Yeah. Yeah. Ivermectin.
All sorts of stuff, right?
Paste.
All sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
But leadership is defined by those.
But don't take aspirin.
Dude. It's wild. But leadership is, you know, defined in terms of the tough decisions that you have to make.
Yeah.
You know, were decisions popular? Probably not. People wanted to get out the house.
Yeah.
People wanted to get back to their lives. People had cabin fever.
I did. I'm sure you did.
A lot of people, man, whose lives just sort of stopped. Things changed. People lost jobs. People's, you know, businesses were in jeopardy. And you have to consider, do you see this trend on a graph where rising rates of infections, loss of life? When is enough enough? I don't think that we should look at lives as collateral damage,
right?
You know, but the most important part was the work that came afterwards, because we could have continued to be a state, and even, you know, getting things back going again wasn't popular, right? Like there were two sides of that coin. People were, you could be upset and frustrated either way, but we wanted to be responsible. And I do truly believe that the decisions that were made helped to increase the activity for our small businesses, and giving them, providing grants and support for people to keep their doors open, you know, starting with essential services, then the list goes on and on. And not only was it for that moment, it created stronger relationships between, economic opportunity and state government, and how we should go about helping out and supporting entities and enterprises, especially in underserved communities. And that's a unique experience I'm happy to bring to this race. It's just another form of coalition building. It's organizing from a different perspective.
Right. Yeah. And whoever thought that telling the truth would be such a controversial thing?
So controversial, right? You say something that is very apparent, and you're being told not to believe your own eyes, which is a form of mind control. This is beyond manipulation. Yeah. This is mind control.
Right.
If you have your government that says, don't believe what you saw, believe what I say.
Right.
Think about that.
I wrote that in an op-ed. I said that is the most dangerous thing. And I said this last week. The most dangerous thing that's happening right now is the government saying, don't believe what you can see with your own eyes. Believe us instead.
Crap. Assuming control of your own thought.
Yeah.
You know, people are already, hey, let's not even get into the AI conversation about all this. That's another conversation for another day.
So what is this race about? I mean, there's so much that we have. I think it would be cool to, if the right thing happens here in Wisconsin, we might have, a legislature that doesn't, run by laws that were enacted in
A legislature that listens to people? Legislature that sees 80% of people in Wisconsin, 80% plus support expanding Badger Care.
Yeah.
A overwhelming majority of people support raising the minimum wage. Overwhelming majority of people child care, women's rights, all these sorts of things.
You would think that staring directly at their own mortality, Republicans would be like, maybe we should, switch things up.
It goes to don't believe don't believe yourself, believe me. I am telling you the thing. That's how authoritarianism succeeds.
Yeah.
And we have had, this is another thing that's not new. We had a taste of it in the first Donald Trump term, and now he's come back with folks who are a little more competent in his administration that are being so much more effective at carrying it out.
Right. Yeah. I have to say one of the first dents in my armor as a Republican was when the redistricting fight was going on, and my neighbor was a state assembly person, and he would come back on Friday and we would, have a beer, and he said to me, I'll never forget this. He said, yep, we're getting new districts and everything. He said, Democrats will not have a majority for the next decade, and there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow. And then I went home and I'm like, man, that's pretty messed up. That's horrible.
Yeah. I mean, that's like one of the biggest forms of voter disenfranchisement is gerrymandering.
Yeah.
And it's been more than a decade, well over a decade. But at this point where people see abuses of power, where people see the heavy-handed approach that this administration is taking the lives of innocent civilians, people who are detaining U.S. citizens, showing up in very sacred spaces, schools, houses of worship, yep, hospitals, courtrooms.
And it's so funny. It's so funny how, and it's not fun. No, it's funny.
Right, right.
But when the protesters go to the house of worship, they, oh my God, this is, look at, they're criminals. But then we had Pauline Lee on the show, who the whole reason why she put her passport in her purse was because ICE agents are hanging out at Hindu temples. It's fine when they do it.
It's fine. Yep.
Right? That's patriotic.
Yeah.
What the hell?
And on top of it, on top of it, the waste of resources.
Dude, yes.
The waste of resources. Oh. You know, this money,
yeah,
that is going into, you know, this rogue agency, this is, you know, people are, taxpayers are putting foot in the bill for an operation that is taking the lives of people in this country. And it sucks.
And I want to be clear too. Like, we, and the whole reason we could talk about telling the truth, we can tell the truth about this too. We can live in a world where two things can be true.
Two things can be true. If a person committed a violent crime and they're not in this country legally, all of us can agree.
We need an agency to deal with that.
All of us can agree that a person who committed, like if you commit a violent crime, you shouldn't, okay, yeah, deport that person.
Right.
You know, and the larger problem here is the fact that we don't haven't had comprehensive immigration reform,
yes,
in this country.
100%.
That has been the need for a generation.
Yep.
And for a lack of it, we have to experience and witness this in communities. Now, I can tell you that both Democrats and Republicans have kicked the can down the road,
yes,
on this for far too long, have allowed this to become a situation for far too long. It felt like every legislative session in Congress was going to be the one that they got immigration reform, yeah, done.
Right.
We need a just and comprehensive system that provides opportunity and a pathway for folks who are doing the right thing,
yep,
people who are contributing to our society, people who are making our communities greater, and people who are actually making our lives safer. I think about often about a teacher's aide, a teacher's assistant, a paraprofessional in Milwaukee, done nothing wrong, no history of crime, was deported,
yeah,
last year. Like, there's so many situations like that.
Right.
Until we have comprehensive reform in this country, you'll have the rise of a rogue agency like we have now.
Right. And it's so unjust. And the two truths can be, yes, that is a needed thing, but also, yes, the tactics and the fact that they're, you know, accountable to nobody, that's wrong too.
Yep.
And you would think that Republicans who talked about, I mean, when I was a Republican, oh, we're going to stand up for the tyrannical government. No, you're just waiting until it's your turn to wield the tyranny.
Mm-hmm. And it's not even a turn thing, because I don't know.
No,
that's the other
right.
Like, no, I know. To your point, I just don't remember, you
no,
know,
right,
us as Democrats using power as
here we
should,
go, baby.
Which is another reason I got in this race, because, you know, for far too long, people have felt like, you know, Democrats haven't shown up to meet the moment.
Yeah.
And I have, you know, challenged my own party time and time again. I have been opposed by, you know, by more establishment types time, yeah, and time again. There were like three DNC members that endorsed against me in my primary in 22.
Really?
Yeah, three. I'm not going to name names, but I can.
Come on. No.
I mean, it's very obvious. They're on people's websites. Those, right, websites still exist. But the fact is, I have only ever gotten involved because I saw a leadership gap.
Yeah.
I have only ever gotten involved,
yeah,
because of my lived experience, my experience as an organizer, showing up when things were difficult and we were not getting the response that we needed from our leaders.
Well, what an exciting thing to be looking at potentially, you know, if the legislature flips, all right, let's show them how it's done.
Exactly.
What a cool thing.
Exactly. And we cannot show up as if it's not an urgent moment. We can't show up and just be thankful that we have the governor's office and a majority in the assembly and the Senate. We have to have an effective governing majority that delivers real results on day one.
Yeah.
Showing up and being bold, not taking, yeah, no for an answer, and not being afraid of having a majority and being in power, we have to actually listen to people. And I think we've had a decade and a half of listening.
And the people want this.
And people want this. People want change. People want more. People deserve more. It's not just that they want this. It's that they deserve it. It's that they have worked hard for it. It's that they have shown up 5 days a week, 40 hours, not seeing a wage increase. It's the fact that they've done nothing wrong and have seen increases and rises in their utility costs. They've seen healthcare costs balloon. All these sorts of things.
And one political party is not
about
their ears.
It's not about what people want. It's about what people deserve. And we're going to show up and deliver it to
them. We're going to talk about plugging your ears in the next segment. So we're going to talk about Mr. Tom Tiffany. Hell yeah. All right, we got Mandela Barnes here in the Russian Revolution. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing. I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. No. And feeling good was easy.
Crash Revolution. I'm Mark Becker, sitting here with Mandela Barnes. This song is played is an ode to my favorite badass and state senator, Chris Alfheim. Kristen Dessler Alfheim. She's cool, and she used to host the show, so I always like to now and again give her a tip of the cap, because we love her very much. And who we don't love.
Oh, God. I love everybody. Let the record reflect. I love everybody. I'm a good Christian man, and I love everybody.
That's what we call a transition, folks. Tom Tiffany. He's got the, he's now Trump endorsed. I love that for him.
Look, I love that for him too. But I tell people all the time, he was MAGA before MAGA.
Yeah, that's true.
I was in the assembly when he was in the Senate. We served together. I know the man very well.
My daughter's five. When I told her that, I was like, oh yeah, she does that really well. I love that for you. Yeah, like, oh my God.
I can tell you though, man.
Yeah, like, you know, Tom.
It was the extreme policies of people like Tom Tiffany and Scott Walker that created a pathway for Donald Trump to show up and disregard people. And it is no secret or any surprise that he would have gotten that endorsement. Came to expect it. I mean, effectively assume that would be the case anyway, because every step of the way that Donald Trump has made life tougher for people, every decision that he's made to benefit himself at the expense of the rest of us, Tom Tiffany has been there. He's been there as a cheerleader. Yep. He's been there as a proud and vocal supporter. And as things become even more challenging, as the administration lies right in our faces, Tom Tiffany is there to aid and abet those lies, to try to further convince us to not believe the things that we know, to not believe the things that we see. They are just two guys who are going to make it even harder for people. They are just two guys who are governing against the interests of the people they actually represent.
Tom Tiffany has given Donald Trump a permission slip for literally anything he's wanted to do.
Literally anything.
I've said to people that are running, I wish I could just write someone's campaign literature that says, he's hurting you and I'm going to stop it.
It's like the worst kind of buddy. It's like the worst kind of buddy cop movie.
Yeah.
The two of them. The worst kind you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
Ever. I mean, but you know, it would be funny if it weren't real life.
I know. That's true.
If there weren't real world consequences. Like I've been in his district. I've talked to farmers in his district. I've talked to small business owners in his district. People who have asked repeatedly about.
Farmers are pissed.
Tariffs. Healthcare costs.
The workforce.
And so the people, you know, I talked to a guy, a farmer in Kadat, who got his got the letter notifying him that his health insurance premium was going to increase. It was around like $275, going to shoot up to around $1,600 almost overnight. And he said that if this is the case, I'm going without health insurance. I cannot afford this. And imagine if there were to be some sort of, you know, unforeseen event.
Yeah.
just a slip and a fall.
I say he works in a tough job.
A very tough job. Yeah. And I say a slip and a fall because last time I was in Green Bay, I had a conversation with a person who had a slip and a fall, was not eligible for Badger Care because we have yet to expand it in this state, was just over the income threshold. Unfortunately, bills after bills after bills started to pile up. She could not afford to live in her home anymore. She had to leave the community to go to move somewhere else. Up in her entire life because of a slip and a fall, because she was not covered. And these are people's lives, livelihoods, and even, you know, contributions to the community that they're in. They can't do that anymore. Can't be as active in places. All while the president has gotten richer and Tom Tiffany has not just allowed it. Tom Tiffany has helped him along the way. Yeah. So if you're opening up a utility bill, Tom Tiffany helped make that higher. If you're seeing your healthcare premiums increase, Tom Tiffany helped make that higher.
Grocery store bills?
Your grocery store bills, Tom Tiffany has made that higher. If you're a small business owner and you can no longer afford to pass on costs to your customers because they can't afford it because of tariffs, Tom Tiffany did that.
Yep. Well, and it's there's so many things that I mean, the damage that's been done to Wisconsin from our school districts having to fight for every penny that they have and fight these private schools.
And we can go back to the legislature because Republicans in the legislature, when Tom Tiffany was a senator, we saw the largest cut in the history of the state, largest cut in the country at that time to public education.
If you're pissed off because your district has to go to referendum all the time.
School districts are going to referendum year after year. They're voting. Communities are voting to raise their own property taxes just to keep the doors open. Yep. We're not talking about to build some fancy new stadium. Yep. We're talking about to keep books in classrooms, to keep those doors open.
Millions of dollars in the school districts like here in Green Bay.
And all this money. Yep. And people are having sticker shock when they open up their property tax bills because Republicans have been derelict in their duty to fund one of our basic necessities, and that is public education. The state has to get back to our 2/3 funding commitment to eventually fully fund public education.
What's this? So we got just a couple minutes left. Yeah. How do you win this thing? What is this all about? What better days are ahead in Wisconsin?
Yeah. We win this thing by showing up, not taking a single vote for granted, not taking a single community for granted. I'm fortunate to have traveled to every single county in this state. But most importantly, it's about showing up in every community, making sure that people know who you are, know your story, and because of that story, know that you will fight like hell for them. I am proud to show up every single time fighting for people I have never met before and may never meet at any point in my life because I know their stories, because those stories are my stories.
One thing I appreciate about you is that you understand the gravity of, you know, when you were lieutenant governor. I know that you didn't view yourself as lieutenant governor for Democrats in Wisconsin. You viewed yourself as lieutenant governor for people in Wisconsin.
Showing up
people,
all across
everybody,
the state. I mean, I remember,
regardless of political opinion.
I remember storm damage tours, being in communities that I know for sure didn't vote for me.
Right.
We didn't ask them if they were Democrats or Republicans. We asked them if they needed help. We showed up and we eventually delivered that support to those communities. They may not have voted for me when they had the chance to after that, but it doesn't matter because the responsibility of a leader is to show up.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I appreciate you showing up here.
For sure.
It's great to talk to you, and I hope we get to do that again soon. And last words for everybody.
Yeah. You know, this is a people power grassroots campaign and would love to have you on board. If you're able to check out the website, MandelaBarnes.com, please do so. Would love to have you. We're not just fighting against something. We're not just fighting against Donald Trump or Tom Tiffany. We are showing up with a plan to deliver real results regardless of where you are. This is about improving quality of life for every single community across Wisconsin. Make this the best place to live, work, raise a family.
Right on. Thank you so much for tuning into the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We'll see you next week. Pushing me around, but I'll
stand my ground. The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.